from the earth I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
It's good to have Brother Tom Birch back with us tonight. I'm happy to be here.
Father, we thank you.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Turn over to 552. 552, Molding a Masterpiece.
Master Potter, why do you labor all day, giving such effort to rough, worthless clay? Why such feeling in your hand? Why such care every touch? The struggle, your creation is nothing but dust. I'm molding a masterpiece, a work of great beauty. I'm molding a masterpiece, my labor's not done. A trophy, a treasure, a worth beyond measure. I'm molding a masterpiece of love. Loving Jesus, why are the children all here, gathered around you and eagerly clinging so near? Urgent matters clamor loudly, and the children interfere. Why do you hold them and so tenderly dry every tear? A masterpiece, a work of great beauty. I'm molding a masterpiece, my labor's not done. A trophy, a treasure, of worth beyond measure. I'm molding a masterpiece of love. Heavenly Father, sometime, why do you ask me to mold simple pieces of clay? Give me eyes to see the future, though it's hidden from my view. Give me compassion as I'm molding a treasure for you. I'm molding a masterpiece, beauty. I'm molding a masterpiece, my labor's not done. A trophy, a treasure, of worth beyond measure. I'm molding a masterpiece of love.
319 is our last one. Just as I am.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not one dark law to thee, whose law can't claim each part of the Lamb of God, I come. conflict bend you down. Fierce within, without a land of God, I come, just as I am, poor wretch in my side riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God.
That has got to be one of my favorite songs, because I don't know how many times that's sung in an invitation where I've had to respond, and I'm saying, oh man, here I am, dirty, and yet all we need is the Savior, and He can cleanse us and make us. That's so neat. Two wonderful songs put together. One truth is, just like you are, you can come to the Lord, and He'll receive you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. But He's going to mold you into a masterpiece. He's going to work on you. He's going to change you. And that work of salvation that He works in our lives is something that ultimately transforms us. So we'll get to our James. That ties in with James. I got a couple announcements to make here. Brother Tom is here, and so we're really excited about that. And he is here bringing a load of Bibles. You want to say a word about that? Amen. Wonderful. So they've been made, they've been purchased, they're being shipped. They just need the praying. So I encourage you, if you're a part of here, or you may not get out in time to be a part of that, but if you're in here, I encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity and just to pray for God's word. Also, if you're kind of a crafty nature, I mean crafty in a good sense, not the bad sense, but yeah. Why are these men looking at me like, yeah, extra skate yourself out of that one. We are going to be working on some passports for the Vacation Bible School. We need to put some labels and stickers and do some just some preparation work for that. So we need to make about 100 of them. So there'll be some, I've broken it down into some steps. I've got some tables. I've got the example one. And so if you like monotonous work, come over and spend, if we have many hands, make light work, as the Chinese proverb goes. And I think it could be done in 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know, something like that. So depending on how many people show up. So very good, very good. So let's turn to the book of James here. We are going to be able to finish up, Lord willing, James chapter 2. And this has been a study here in regards to the true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true faith does not have partiality, does not lift up someone on the basis of how they can benefit me, but rather it is something of the love of Jesus Christ who died for all, and he wants us to have the compassion and love for all and for everyone. And then we've seen here that faith is not something that we can tout as an empty profession. It cannot be just simply the words of our mouths. And we've seen how this, very clearly, he's making a contrast between faith without works and faith that produces works. And there's only one that can say, that is the true saving faith. And we looked at last time, or 2 weeks ago, at Abraham, who was justified, not... And remember, we have to understand that at the moment that he believed God, and God told him, I'm going to make you a great people, and he heard that promise. When he believed God in his heart, God took that faith and imputed to him righteousness. He was righteous before God. But his life would be a life lived out of actions that demonstrated that he truly was a man of faith. And truly coming to the end of his life, a great test, a great trial. He had to offer Isaac his son upon the altar. And he revealed his faith, revealed who he was truly believing in, that he trusted God even to that moment, to that place. And he says, here was justified by works. And meaning in that aspect, that it was the evidence of his faith was revealed by the actions of his life. And it's in that context we looked at it, said, look how faith wrought with his works, not just faith alone, not a profession, but the faith that produced a changed life, the willingness through the test, through the trial, he continued to believe God. By works, faith was made perfect. It was made mature. And so a part of this is he's writing to people who are going through trials. And he tells them, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So he wants them to don't fall back in the midst of difficulty. Don't, at the moment when it says, I don't think I can do this anymore. And that's where people want to drop back and disbelieve God. I was reading, I was finishing up a magazine. I bought it for July 4th, Sunday and everything. And it has some neat articles in it. But I said, well, I've already purchased it. I better read the whole thing. It was just interesting reading about some unknown abolitionists that I didn't even know anything about. There was interesting aspect of the 1830s to the 1860s. There were people that were endured great persecution because they were claiming that slavery was a sin. And they were bold about it. And they said, well, we're not going to talk about what to do with the slaves. We deal with that later. We first have to repent of our sin. And they just were bold in calling them. People were throwing tomatoes and rocks. And I mean, they couldn't even go down to the South because they'd be killed. And then I read about a man who went through all this. And in the 1840s, he left the abolition movement because he left the Christian faith. He's going through trial. He's going through testing. And he just pulls out of everything. And that's probably kind of, I don't know, the end of his life. But when someone does that, the Bible calls that apostasy. They're turning away. There's an aspect when you've got to come in that your faith is being tried. Do you really believe when you're in the test, when you're in the persecution, when things are not going well? And so from this aspect, he's saying he wants them to continue to respond to God, to believe him. And the scripture was fulfilled. It showed when God made him righteous, he really was a righteous man. It was produced in his life. And he was the friend of God. He had ultimately the true evidence of faith is a friendship, fellowship with God. All right, so that leads us into verse 24. He says, ye see then, looking back at Abraham, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Keep your hand right there and turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 28. I want you to see this so you understand why I'm going to argue for what I'm arguing. Here is the conclusion of the great doctrine in the Apostle Paul dealing with justification. And he says, verse 28, therefore we conclude, this is the conclusion, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. All right, so this is an interesting aspect. You put that verse along this, and he says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And so you put those two together and you say, ah, what's going on? I find it fascinating. The Bible is not contradicting itself. But in appearance, it sure looks like it's making a near pass, right? And I think God does that on purpose. You say, I wish God would make it all plain and all easy. And boy, you just spell it all out for us. He does not do that. He makes it so that you have to study this book, and truly a right understanding of any passage only comes as you have a better knowledge of the whole thing. So it's just it's a lifelong pursuit to know this book. I'm going to quote someone here. I guess I don't know how I'm going to go about this, but let's see here. I'll try to explain it first. I'll just say it this way. Paul, what he is doing is saying that the basis for a relationship with God ultimately comes from faith imputed. You can have a relationship with him, and that begins. You are made righteous. You are born again only on the basis of faith. And that's made very clear in Romans. You don't add anything else to it. There's no works, no deeds of the law by which we have to be justified. But James is making the point that the reality and the proof of that relationship, not the basis of it, but the reality, the vindication of it, is a faith that produces acts of righteousness, works that proceed out of that. I'll try to continue to make statements that will help to reinforce that understanding. One theologian put it this way: faith alone justifies. He's capitalizing on Paul's words. That's very clear. That's what Paul said. And he says, but the faith that justifies. Okay, faith alone justifies, but the faith that justifies is not alone. It's not just the mere profession of our mouth. There's always something that happens. There was this, I don't have a clock back there. I don't know what happened, but this is great. I feel so free. Whew, no constraints. Uh-oh, all right. He's propping it up. It's only 7. okay, yes. She said, my master's, she was talking about it. She said, my master thinks that I'm saved because I sweep under the rugs now, and I didn't before. And there's just this element of, there's something different about you. You've changed. There's an element that saving faith does transform us. I'm going to put it this way, empowered righteousness. That means works. I'm taking the idea of works as being empowered. God empowering inside of you a righteous life. Empowered righteousness vindicates imputed righteousness. God imputed it to your account, but the transformation that's taking place in your life vindicates and shows you really are being made righteous by God. It's a wonderful thing. And he goes on to this and he says, let me give you an example. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? All right. This passage deals with Rahab, and she's a harlot. You can't think of this. This woman was condemned. She lived in the city of Jericho. And God said, you are not going to take any of the possessions out. You are not going to let man, woman, or child survive. Everyone in this first city in Canaan must be eradicated. She had no right to a relationship with God because she was not a part of the covenants. She was a Gentile. She was excluded by her city. She was excluded by her nationality. And she was excluded by her profession. She was not an upright woman. She was a harlot. And yet, God tells us that she has faith. How do we know this? And in fact, it's not here in James. He doesn't even talk about faith, but he's going to mention. We know in the context it's about faith. But let's go. I'm going to turn back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. In verse 9 and 10, we get her statement. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that are on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then she goes on and asks them to swear that they would show him kindness, the very same words of hesed, faithful, loving, covenant, loyal love to her. Now, I'll just read to you. You can turn there if you want to, but I'm going to read just a few of one sentence of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. All right, so this woman believed, and yet everybody else in the city did not believe. Now everybody else was filled with terror. Everyone else was filled with dread, but she came to some conclusion somewhere on the wall, looking out when she heard all that was happening and saw God. And maybe that when she saw them coming across the Jordan River and saw that miracle, she believed that is the true God. And she believed in her heart. And far as from Hebrew's perspective, she was the only one that had faith. And God led those spies right to her doorstep. And she demonstrated her faith. It doesn't mean, oh, I got to clean my life up, right? And then he'll save me. She's a harlot. She hadn't cleaned her life up, but she put her faith in God. And when she saw these messengers, her faith demonstrated itself. It showed itself by, she said, I'll hide you. I'll risk punishment and death. And she spared them and sent them out another way. It's in that moment where you see that it doesn't take a whole lot, but faith is going to produce actions in our lives. And then he brings it to a final conclusion. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This brings us back to the same conclusion that he said in chapter 2, verse 17. Faith without works is dead. So the idea here is faith that's alive, not dead faith, alive faith, shows itself by moving. You can tell someone's alive, and you say, how do you tell? You can tell a dead person. They're a corpse. They're a body with no internal moving. I think what's going on in the analogy here, the body is the idea of faith professed. Yes, I've got faith. But that's just a dead corpse if there isn't something deep inside of you that is moving you to say, I love God and I want to serve Him and I want to work for Him and I'm going to believe Him and trust Him and obey Him. It's that spirit within. It's the true life, the true walk with God that's going to move, that's going to respond to God. The reality here is we can never be content with just a mere profession of faith. But we ought to say, God, where is your... I've got faith. I know I've got faith. I'm just trying to give... I believe it. I have full confidence and assurance that I'm a child of God. I believe Him. But I look at it and say, where is my faith being put to the test? Where can I show that I'm not a dead corpse, but I really am alive? Because I want to respond to God. And I want Him to be pleased with my life. And this is, He is trying to stir up the believers to have the right kind of faith the right kind of walk with God that really induces that friendship, that fellowship with God, obedience that responds to Him in faith and all that He says. So may God help us be done with empty profession. And there's an aspect of carefulness even in evangelism. Someone's not just making lip service, but there really is a true desire to have a relationship with God. Because we know faith, empty profession is dead. But you know what? Works alone is dead too, right? Many people are going to say to me, "Lord, Lord, have I not done many wonderful works in Thy name?" And you're going to say, "I never knew You." It starts with a relationship. And relationship comes by faith. That relationship will be seen. May God make it so more and more until He comes again. We will pass out some awards.